All right, do I dare? This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142E, page 595. We are talking about three great constellations. We are talking about three aspects of the will, and I'm relating them ahead of time to constellations. The will, which is the synthesis of life, relates to the cosmic physical plane. The will, which is the fulfillment, brings fulfillment, is the divine incentive coming from the astral plane. It's a driving force. This type of will is a driving force which cosmically is desire and systemically is will. And I've tried to define what incentive means both as an attractive force and a prodding and pushing force. The will which conquers death is an outpouring from the cosmic mental plane. It will have much connection with Sirius in that respect, because Sirius does inform the cosmic mental plane, but it's also involved with the cosmic astral plane, and so Sirius is involved in the Leonian descent as well. Right. We're into very heavy stuff here. From these three cosmic planes embracing the sacred personality of the Logoi, the solar logos personality called Agni, the planetary logos personality not given a name, come the united energies of the three constellations which energize and control our solar system. The Great Bear is usually connected with Aries. Sirius, connected with Leo, and Pleiades with Capricorn. But what about the will of these three? Three great constellations, how shall we look at it? How shall we associate these three constellations with the planes? Will it be Great Bear, cosmic mental plane? Maybe not. Will it be a Sirius, cosmic astral plane in a way, but also cosmic mental? Will it be Capricorn, cosmic physical plane? Maybe not. Although, of course, we're told that Aries will eventually be the initiating energy, because Capricorn is of the earth, earthy, so maybe it has to do with the cosmic physical plane. He's going to tell us here. Because the Great Bear is so often associated with Aries, which I think here will have a cosmic mental plane association. And Capricorn is, the Pleiades is so often associated with Capricorn, which may have a Capricorn has a cosmic mental plane association here. Or at least this will that conquers death does. In a way, I'm cheating, you know, because I kind of know that Capricorn is related to the will that conquers death. I know that Aries is related to this will which conditions life, and that Sirius, or some second-ray stream, is related to the will which brings fulfillment. And so is our sun, I think. Will one ever come down from these abstract thoughts? Okay, so from these three cosmic mental planes embracing the personality of the solar and planetary logos come the united energies of the three constellations which control and energize our solar system. So we're talking about sources of energy for the sources of the energy of the three great constellations. And these work through the medium of the seven rays, and these in turn express themselves through the 12 constellations. It's a bit of an hourglass figure, because we have the great constellations working through the seven rays and then other constellations. So it's a way from fat to skinny to fat, again, using just the crude language to try to describe the figure, the hourglass figure that is described. From a constellation to a ray which is distributed via a star to another constellation. But let's just, try to put this down that the Great Bear will relate to rays 1 and 7. Sirius to rays 2, 4, 6. Of course, also to ray 5 in another way. It's the cosmic Christ ray 2. It's the fourth path ray 4. It's the cosmic astral plane and the blissful dancing points of fanatical devotion. Those who go to Sirius, it's the loyal dog following Orion. It's ray 6. And the Pleiades relate to 3 and 5 as a subset of 3. So these, the constellations, the great constellations, work out through the medium of the 7 rays. And basically he's telling us in a way that the constellations are behind the 7 rays in tabulation 10. So the constellations are behind the 3 great constellations. I wonder if there's a way to 3 great constellations. Yes, yes. The 3 great constellations are behind the 7 distributing stars in tabulation 10. So if we were wondering, what's behind this figure that is found on esoteric astrology 610, what's behind it? Well, behind this ray or star of the Great Bear is one of the 3 great constellations as a whole. So in a way, the most focal star in the Great Bear is the ray 1 star. And I wonder if that's going to be true for ray 7 or so, for every distribution. Or will we, as I say, find that there are 7, that it's not only the 3 great constellations, but other constellations and the one about whom naught may be said, which have to be placed in a preeminent position over one of the stars of the Great Bear. It's getting complex, because it seems that there is a ray 1 star in the Pleiades, a ray 1 star in the Sirius system, or maybe in the Little Bear system, and that 3 of these should be present. And maybe, I don't know, it's just occurring to me that the ray 1, the ray, the ray 1 sub Great Bear, ray 1 sub Sirius, ray 1 sub Pleiades star would work through differentiated zodiacal constellations. Maybe the ray 1 Pleiades star worked through Capricorn. The ray 1 Sirius star or Little Bear star works through Leo. Maybe the ray 1 Aries, ray 1 Great Bear star is going to be working through Aries. So you see, above and beyond this Dorje, double Dorje, or Dorje figure, are possibilities of greater constellations and their stars correlated with the rays working their way down. So these work through the medium of the 7 rays, the 3 great constellations may be seen behind the 7 distributing stars in tabulation 10, and these in turn express themselves through the 12 constellations which form the zodiacal wheel. So we have a greater configuration or diagram than is seen in tabulation 10 or in figure 4. Is it figure 4? What kind of diagram 4? Diagram 4 on page 610. Okay. The lords or ruling powers of these 12 sources of light and life step down. Well, there are lords. If you really wonder, if anyone ever wonders whether there are zodiacal lords, Here it is. And what page are we on? 595. And I've just got to do that. EA 595. And let's just say Lords of the Zodiacal. Okay. Zodiacal Lords. Lords of the Zodiacal Constellations. Lords of the Zodiacal, yes. Lord and Lords. I'm making it easy to look up later. Lords of the Zodiacal Constellations, 12 Lords. Okay. Let's see where we go, and we're right here back in the AAB extracts. It's always faster to do it that way, if you don't mind. And we get to ponder while I'm taking a little time. Sometimes I know I'm talking so fast there's no time to ponder at all, so one has to keep on stopping, you know, almost pausing it to say, well, what did he say? And I would pause it for myself to say, well, what did I say? You know how it is with the third ray. Sometimes the mouth is in motion before the thought catches up. So anyway, the lords or ruling powers of these 12 sources of light and life step down the potency of these three major energies so that our solar logos can absorb them. Now, there's a different story going on here. Oh, Lord, what did I do? Absorb them, yes. Here it is. So, we have a seven hovering above a, no, we have a three hovering above a seven, and ultimately above a 12. So 22 is the result. The three great constellations are hovering above the seven ray energies, which in turn are hovering above the 12 zodiacal lords. So it's the three major energies which are giving ray energies. If I could just draw this, you know, how can I do this? I can't draw it, but I can say that out of every one of the three come three rays. Three first rays from, let's just make it simple, from the Great Bear Sirius Pleiades, three first ray stars. Three first ray, three second ray stars coming out of the same. Three third ray stars coming out of the same. Fourth ray stars, fifth ray stars, sixth ray stars coming out of the same, because there are seven major stars in each one. So we've got the three great lords. I'm going to put this in a configuration. We have three great lords. We have three first rays, three second rays, three third rays, etc. One of the three coming from each constellation. Okay, so that's 21. And up here is the figure 3. So we have 21 stars. 21 stars distributing three types of seven-ray energy. 21 stars distributing three types of seven-ray energy from the will aspect, the love aspect, and the intelligence aspect. Then we have the 12 zodiacal constellations, 12 zodiacal, oh, yes, zodiacal constellations. So 3 above the 12 gives us 15. But 3 plus 20 was 24, plus 12 is 36. We have a 36, which, interestingly, is the number of decanates in our zodiac, and probably is going to conform with certain Chaldean groupings, the number 36. Am I correct? Three great lords. We have, well, you know, and do I want to go on with this? 21 stars from the three affecting and passing through the 12. And then the 12. So 3 plus 21 is 24, plus 12 is 36. If I added another 7 to that, I'd get 43. I don't think I will. It doesn't sound that promising. But what it has established for me that there is more to this Dorje figure than meets the eye, and that the three great constellations are behind every one of the distributing stars. So basically, triangles of stars distribute the ray energy in three modes to each one of the zodiacal triangles. So like I said, you know, if we know what are the first ray stars in each one of the three great constellations, assuming that Sirius has seven and we don't have to go to the Little Bear, and maybe we do, I don't know. We have Alcaid Benetnash in the Great Bear. That's the first ray star with two names. We have Alcyone in the middle of the Pleiades. And what do we have in the middle of the... If we go to the Little Bear, we have Polaris, which is in the tail of the bear. It's certainly a first ray star. So we'd have a triangle then. You know, just try it on. Between Alcyone, Polaris, and Benetnash, a first-ray triangle, which would be working through the triangle of Aries, Leo, Capricorn. And would it be the case that Alcaid would work through Aries, Polaris would work through Leo, which to which it is connected, we are told, and Alcyone would work through Capricorn. Well, it's pretty intricate, but maybe it works that way, and maybe our number is 36 after all. An important number of completion, the 3 and 6 is the 9. Maybe that's what we have. Well, we're out there in space, you know. But just looking at this little diagram and thinking that somehow from one little star all this energy is stepped down doesn't seem right to me, doesn't seem proportional. But if there were three stars and if each one of the three great constellations was somehow contributing to each to the zodiacal triangle. In other words, let me put it another way, another point of view. If each of the three great constellations were contributing to each zodiacal triangle, then we would have a real reason to step down the energies which are expressed or which pass through the zodiacal triangle. I've never been into these thoughts before, I've never been able to take them this far. Whether they are erroneous or have something of value is something that time will have to determine. So in a way, Aries, Great Bear, Sirius, Pleiades are behind every triangle. In a way, Great Bear, Sirius, Little Bear, no, that's Lunar Body, Ursa Minor, no, Universal Mind, BTL, Little Bear, yes, Little Bear, Sirius, Little Bear, and Pleiades are behind every zodiacal triangle. And yet, as we know, well, let's just say Pleiades is massive. Pleiades is the main thing happening. Little Bear is potent. Is it as potent as the zodiacal constellations? Yes or no? Is Great Bear as potent as all of the zodiacal constellations? Yes or no? We don't know that yet, but at least we have a configuration where there are three super constellations, and they are pouring through. I have an idea. But okay, maybe they are pouring through the seven ray sources into the constellations. Now, either the three great constellations are pouring through all seven ray sources into these zodiacal constellations, or there are seven constellations in the one about whom, each of which is active in relation to one of the seven rays, which pour through the zodiacal constellation, zodiacal triangles. And that's another perspective. And I really have to draw this out as someone who can draw, and diagram has to bring this out so that we can test it out. Well, we can't test it. We can only see whether it seems fitting according to the law of correspondences. If it really deviates from the law of correspondences, then we have a problem. But what if, what if in each of the seven constellations, which are chakras, in the one about whom, chakras in the one about whom, we have seven stars, each conveying a ray? Well, could we say then that each of the seven constellations contributes an aspect to each of the zodiacal triangles? So remember before, basically what we have is we've got three great constellations, and they have seven stars each, and each one of those stars is connected with one of the rays. What if we actually have seven such constellations, and in each constellation there are seven major stars, each having one of the rays, and there are seven aspects? We're told, you know, in relation to the solar logo, seven aspects have to be developed, or attributes, and we've only developed three: will, love, and activity. There are four more. What if there is a sevenfold contribution to each one of the triangles, which somehow, well, how would they line up? It's getting a little intricate here. But we've got three above, or maybe now we have 7 above, and 49, and 12. How does that come out? Let's take a look. Do we get a number that's interesting? 7, 49 stars, and 12. Well, we get 56 and 12. We get, looks like 68. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't want to go too far with this. I probably have already gone too far and have taxed everybody except those who are third-ray maniacs and want to get all these things correlated with each other. But anyway, there are a number of ways of looking at tabulation 10 and diagram 4. That's what I'm saying. And it's always bothered me that just one little star is the root of that which passes through 3 zodiacal constellations and then on to the sun and so forth. I have given an alternative and say it passes through 3 solar signs. That might be different because the sign is not as great a being or an aggregation as is a star. But if that little star is somehow responsible for sending the entire ray through a constellation, which then sends it to our sun, seems out of proportion. So then we've begun to realize that the 3 great constellations are behind this. From the 3 cosmic planes come the united energies of 3 constellations, which control and energize our solar system, and maybe not others, the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Sirius. These work through the medium of the 7 rays. So the 3 are working through the 7, and these express themselves through the 12 constellations. Now what I've done is found a way that to relate the 7 rays to the 3 great constellations. And so have, in a way, each great constellation connected with each one of the zodiacal triangles. And instead of one little star sitting there and distributing everything that goes through the zodiacal triangle, we have the 3 great constellations and their relevant ray stars working down into the zodiacal triangle. I hope that's clear. If not, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to explain it. The lords or ruling powers of these 12 sources of light and life step down the potency of the 3 major energies. And that is so important because the charts don't show this. They show the charts. The charts show only the 3, the zodiacal constellations stepping down the energy of a ray coming from a star. Why would you have to step that down? But from the 3 great constellations, you would have to step down the energy. So what I put here is 3 great lords, 3 first rays, 3 second rays, 3rd rays, in other words, more than that. 7 stars in each of the great lords, at 21. And that the energy of the great constellations is reaching the zodiacal constellations. Let's just put it this way. The energy of the 3 great constellations must reach the members of a zodiacal triangle. It is these great energies which need to be stepped down. So via these seven stars found in each one of the great constellations, the energies of the great constellations is reaching the zodiacal constellations, which then step them down. That's the theory I'm playing with here, instead of one star giving the energy of the constellation, one star, that is, which has to, giving the energy of the ray, which has to be stepped down. So this may be a dead end, and maybe I do not have to think of four more constellations. Actually, I really have trouble, because I'll tell you why. There are 10. There are 10 constellations which are chakras in the one about whom naught may be said. So how do we choose? Which 10 do we choose? But, I remember now, three of them may be higher analogs to the three persons of the Logoic Trinity. So maybe we can stick with the seven which are obvious. Do the seven constellations of the one about whom naught may be said condition these zodiacal triangles, or do just the three? All I can do is propose a question, because there's no real way to answer that. Three plus, that wouldn't work. Seven great constellations. Plus 49 stars, plus 12 zodiacal constellations. Well, it's a 68. And beyond that, I cannot go. I just indicate the number. So what do our zodiacal constellations do? They tune out those aspects of these three potencies which are not suited to our systemic life at this point in the evolutionary process. You know, I've read this book for so long, and I've never realized, it always bothered me, but I've never realized that behind the flow of ray energies are the three great constellations flowing through the ray energies. But how could they do that? They could only do that, I think, if there are stars within them from three aspects of divinity which represent each one of the rays. The rays represented intelligently through the Pleiades, represented in terms of love through Sirius or the Little Bear, a sevenfold Sirian system, or a sevenfold kind of a dipper in the Little Bear, or through seven will-centered stars in the Great Bear. So anyway, I want proportion, that the higher constellations will have something, will be a proportionate source of great power from which the zodiacal energies can receive and step down. So they tune out those aspects of these three potencies which are not suited to our systemic life at this point in the evolutionary process. And we've been told that lots of first ray energy never reaches our solar system at this time, because it is tuned out and not accepted by our solar logos, who is working on the second aspect of divinity. Just as the hierarchy upon our little planet tunes out or steps down the energies of Shambhala. Well, our hierarchy apparently was not letting every Shambhalic energy through. These three major energies, in a mysterious manner, express themselves through the seven rays just as all triplicities subdivide into septenates, yet preserve their identity. This is what I was driving at. But what are the seven ray sources? The three great ones, expressed through seven. It's Kabbalistic. It's three hovering over the seven. These three major energies of the three great constellations express themselves through the seven rays, just as all triplicities subdivide into septenates. Now, the only way this would work is somehow to have, and I've hinted at this, have each of the three great constellations expressing through each a zodiacal triangle. So, you know, if we look at this map on 590 of Esoteric Astrology, well, you know, I can't draw the picture, but I can do this. We can say, okay, here we have Great Bear Sirius Pleiades through three stars which carry the first ray into this triangle. Great Bear Sirius Pleiades, Great Bear Sirius Pleiades, Great Bear Sirius Pleiades, and so forth, through all the rays, because within the Great Bear Sirius and Pleiades there are stars which correspond to each one of the rays, and that would greatly empower the rays, wouldn't it? The other system that I had was to find one of the chakras of the one about whom not be, may be said, and assign one of them to each ray, giving us a higher kind of ray source to work out in the three great triangles. That, you know, I'm not dismissing that entirely, okay? Now, another way of looking at this is to go here to 610 to diagram 4 and say, okay, here's ray 1. So on top of ray 1, it's not just star in the Great Bear, ray 1. It's three stars, star in the Pleiades, star in Sirius, all giving different aspects of ray 1, maybe dividing, as I say, so that the star in the Great Bear goes to Aries, the star in Sirius or the Little Bear goes to Leo, and the star in the Pleiades goes to Capricorn, maybe, but hovering above these three stars would be Great Bear, Sirius, Pleiades. Then there are three stars, and then the transmission via them, via these three, to the constellations Aries, Leo, Capricorn. And so it would be ray 2. We still get Great Bear, Sirius, Pleiades up here, but it's the ray 2 stars in them. Three ray 2 stars transmitting a will, some kind of the will, love, and intelligence aspect of the second ray, and then coming down to Gemini, Virgo, Pisces. And we could assign the three aspects accordingly, and finally making their way to the sun. So behind it all are the three great constellations, which really are the ones trying to reach our solar system, but are tuned out, not allowed to, that all of their energies reach into our solar system, because our solar system has a kind of bias towards the second ray at this time. So in a mysterious manner, express themselves with the seven rays, just as all triplicities subdivide into septenates, yet preserve their identity. Well, and here, you know, here's another possibility, and I hate to offer it, But here goes, one more possibility. That just the way Ray 1, 2, and 3 combine to make 4, 5, 6, and 7, we have Great Bear Ray 1, Sirius Little Bear Ray 2, Pleiades Ray 3, but what makes Ray 4? It's a combination of Ray 1 and Ray 2. So it's Great Bear Sirius Ray 4. Ray 5 is Ray 1 and 3, so it's Great Bear Pleiades Ray 5. Ray 6 is a combination of 2 and 3. At least that's the way I look at it. Some people turn it around and say that Ray 4 is a combination of 2 and 3 and Ray 6 is 2 and 1, but I prefer it the other way. The principle is what's important here. Ray 6, combination of 2 and 3, it's Sirius Little Bear in combination with the Pleiades. And then for Ray 7, equal proportions of the energies of all the three. So this is the way that I've just explained. Possibility. I have explained how rays, the three major rays, combine into duads to produce rays 4, 5, 6, and combine in equal measure to produce ray 7. Well, the constellations could, the three great constellations, could thus combine according to this system. Why not? Of course, will speculation lead to intuitive confirmation? That is the question. Right now, these are thoughts about the so-called, as he says, mysterious manner in which triplicities become septenates. And if we're dealing with a great triplicity, what would make of them? What would make them capable of providing the four other rays? So these seven energies emanating from the major three and transmitted via 12 constellations. Now I have to show you something here. This is really important. Whoop, there we go. Three above a seven. Three above a seven. We also always have three hovering above a seven. It's Kabbalistic. So, these seven energies emanating from the major three, there's always going to be a major three. And the question is, you know, what are the major three? You know, because we have, are the major three the higher analogs to the three great constellations? In other words, are they analogs to the three persons of the Trinity? Well, anyway, these seven energies emanating from the major three, so we have a 10, are transmitted via 12 constellations. We have a 10 transmitted by a 12. And, you know, I've come up with so many different ways that this could work. By the 12 constellations are embodied by the seven sacred planets. So in a way, from each, I'll go back to my original idea, that there will be seven stars coming out of each one of the three major constellations. And somehow, the energy of these seven stars are going to make their way via planetary transmitters to seven sacred planets. And we might say here that each of the seven sacred planets will receive three rays. A ray of intelligence, of love, and of will. This is really becoming a network, a web of interrelated energies. And I think, you know, if I come back to this and at all understand what I'm talking about, then I may be able to have it rendered in different ways so as to give the possibility. Suffice it to say, for each ray that is transmitted to a zodiacal constellation, there are really three representatives of the rays. Now, normally we'd say, well, Mercury rules Aries. So, Aries transmits ray one goes through Mercury. But looked at in this, and ray one goes through Mars. And if we were to take the hierarchical rulers, it goes through Uranus. But let's leave the hierarchical rulers out of it. But if three ray one streams come into every triangle, then maybe instead of just ray one represented by the will stream, you're going to have ray one represented by three streams, the a ray one intelligence star, a ray one love star, a ray one will star, passing through Mercury, passing through Mars. That's one way to do it. Or another way. If the three types of ray energies, an intelligence ray, a love ray, a will ray, let's go to this thing, divide so that Aries is sponsoring Mars and Mercury. Where's Mercury? Mars, Mercury should be here. Here it is, Mercury. Mars, Mercury. If Leo sponsors only the Sun, but really a non-sacred planet, and Capricorn sponsors only Saturn, then if we divide the three streams up here so that the will stream touches Aries, then the will stream of the first ray will touch only Mars and Mercury. And the love stream of the first ray will touch only Leo, and hence this non-sacred planet which the Sun masquerades for. And the intelligence aspect of the will stream of the first ray, intelligence aspect of the first ray, will go only through Saturn. That's another way of looking at it. So I realize I have offered maddeningly a number of different possibilities for how the rays are transmitted through the triangles of constellations and how they reach down and are received by the seven sacred planets. Well, you know, look, we already know that if the Great Bear has seven stars, which are the prototypes of the seven sacred planets, that seven stars in the Pleiades are going to give some form of intelligence to each one of those planets as well. And they're going to be correlated by ray. And we have to look for a kind of a second ray system, whether it be the Little Bear or some Sirian system, which are going to give the some kind of connection with the sacred planets as well. It's as if each one of the sacred planets has to receive a stream from each of the super constellations. not just from the Great Bear. We already know that they receive from the Pleiades, so then why not from the central one? And according to the nature of the planet, let's say that we've got Vulcan, first-ray soul, let's say. I know you need diagrams here, but, you know, I just have to get it how I get it, and then maybe we can get it into a diagram. From the Great Bear, Benet Nash will send a ray of will along the first-ray line into Vulcan. But Vulcan is a first-ray planet in its soul. So the intelligence aspect of the first ray has to come from the Pleiades, and Alcyone, being the first ray star in that intelligence group we call the Pleiades, will also send a ray to Vulcan, since Vulcan is the operative first ray planet at this time. Then what happens? Let's look at the Little Bear or Sirius. Well, it's too hard to think of Sirius having seven unless we think of our seven solar systems, of which ours is one. But then take a look at the Little Bear, and it's got a first-ray star in it. Of course, it might be Polaris. Polaris seems the strongest star, the star of direction. It's in the tail of the Little Bear. Let's imagine it's Polaris. It might be something else, but Polaris sends a first-ray stream along the love line to Vulcan. Now, Vulcan has received three streams from prototypes in all three constellations. We can do it that way. And we can look for the major... I should stop talking today, shouldn't I? This quick cup of tea. We can do it with the ray rulers. Vulcan, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, blah, 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 blah. We can do it that way. Or we can do it via the rulers of the constellations. And it would be very intricate. But I've already shown you how I might do it with Aries, Leo, and Capricorn. See, Vulcan is a ray ruler, a soul ray ruler here, a planet who has the first ray soul, is not cross-hatched because it's not one of the rulers. But from a certain point of view, the stars in the great constellations, they're all correlated with the planetary logoi, and they might not come through these particular constellations, but they could reach down and reach Vulcan. They might. Now, Pluto is not a first-ray soul, non-sacred planet, I think. I think the non-sacreds are given the personality ray, but let's just say that the three first-ray types of stars might connect as well with Pluto. But it wouldn't be via this method of rulership. So actually, what I've done here is to create five or six possible charts. Now, of course, it's always the third ray problem to give options. Many options. They can't all be correct, but there can be aspects of each one that are correct. The one thing that I'm satisfied with is that there's not one little star sitting above all of this and responsible for bringing the ray into this system. The three great constellations work through the rays and give rays which can reach the zodiacal triangles and so forth. In other words, it's very simple, you know, if I can say it in a funny, stupid way. There's a higher power up here, three higher powers, and those higher powers are the ones that have to be stepped down through these zodiacal constellations. So anyway, three these seven energies emanating from the major three, and I've already showed you how combinations might work, are transmitted via the 12 constellations, are embodied in the seven sacred planets, and are represented on our earth by the seven spirits before the throne of God, the symbol of synthesis. Each one of these correlated with one or other of the planets who dispense certain rays or distribute certain rays. So the planetary logoi are the seven spirits before the throne of the solar logos, but on our own planetary level we have seven spirits, I would say, on the scheme level, on the chain level, so 49 there, and seven spirits on each globe. And there we would have 343. Without emanation theory, we're in trouble, because all of these are really one thing. But the seven spirits, there are seven spirits before the throne of our planetary logos, the Lord and ruler of the scheme. And these are correlated with those planets which are ray rulers, and also correlated with the planets which are bringing through the rays, because they rule constellations which distribute certain rays. All right. This tremendous interrelation, and boy, do I have an appreciation of it now. I have an appreciation as never before. I've led myself and you into bewilderment, but it is an extricable bewilderment. Meaning there's lots of threads going on here, but you can disentangle. This tremendous interrelation is embodied in one great process of transmission, reception, absorption, relation, and living activity. Now, you kind of wonder, are these the five stops in the Dorje figure? Transmission, reception, absorption, relation, and living activity. TRARLA. Okay, looking always for an acronym. Sometimes helps. Transmission, reception, absorption, relation, and living activity. Maybe, but he has other words. Transcending, transmitting, transforming, transfiguring, and the earth. So if we really look to evaluate these words, transmission, reception, absorption, relation, living activity, I think, are these the five steps in the Dorje figure on diagram 4, 6, 10? We might say so. There is a correlation, I think. The ray is transmitted, it is received by the constellations and fine-tuned, blocked, perhaps, or passed through. But it's not absorbed. The sun absorbs, let us say. And the sun sends the energies out into the planets, which have an interrelation with each other according to ray activity and rulership activity, and then send it through to the earth or to any other planet, but the earth is what we're concerned with here, and creating a living activity which began at a very high level of transmission. The method is one of invocation and evocation. We've been discussing that the whole time. In these two sentences, you have one of the most important clues to the whole evolutionary process. A tremendous interrelation. Two sentences, is this it? This tremendous interrelation is embodied in one great process of, and I'll just underline these, and the method is one of invocation and evocation. There are two sentences here, and they're supposed to give us the clue to the entire whole evolutionary process. The key to the mystery of time and space, and the solution of all problems. Excuse me if I just have to either pull my hair or laugh at this time. But the factor which is of major importance is that the whole matter is an expression of focused what? Will. Well, he gives us the extremes here, the intricacy of the solution to our usually insoluble problems and probs. I'll just write it out. And also the simple distillation. The will is involved. It's reaching us. Because of the will of the great entities, we are evolving. As to what is called the clue to the whole evolutionary process, there are three periodical vehicles here. 1, 2, 3 in a way. And there are various transformers along the way, transmitters. We might be able to say, this is the descent of energy and it relates to the evolutionary process. We could maybe work something out there. But when he says it's the key to the mystery of time and space, I throw up my hands because although I've thought of various mysteries, I can't think of one in relation to this particular configuration of the solution. And then the solution of all problems. Well, all I can think of there is that we have many problems in our ring past knot. Our ring past knot. What has happened? I thought I had I know what's happened here. Something has happened. I won't worry about it. I'll turn the computer off later. I'll just have to print everything out here. Ring, past knot. But let me just see. Okay, just give me the benefit of the doubt here, and we'll see whether, everything looks good. So, set as default, yes, and we don't get anything here. No, we don't. We have many problems in our ring past knot. They must be solved by the application of energies to forces. All the forces are given. And so in their combinations, all the solutions to our problems within this particular ring past knot can be solved. But the factor which is of major importance is that the whole matter is expressed as an expression of the focus will. Whoa, all right. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142E. Page. Is it E? I'm not sure. Yeah, it's E. Page something. Page 596. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 143, A, page 596. Okay, well, I hope it worked out today, friends. I've done 9 of these today. That's my record. And a lot of it has been spinning and dizzy. But I'm up in this area where I have to just trust myself and see whether any of these speculations lead to intuitive confirmation. If not, okay. But if so, there's been a workout. And maybe some help for the abstract mind here, or your abstract mind, or whatever, has been achieved. So, I will now turn this off, and I don't think I'll be doing any more today. And we'll see you later. You know, we're getting very close, because this book ends... Does it end on... Let me just see, if you allow. We have page 630. And even before 630, tabulations related to astrology. Well, going to be rejoicing here pretty soon. Here it is, page 635. So we're about 37 pages from the end of the book up to the appendix. But of course, the appendix is very important because it brings things together. And these statements from the Secret Doctrine and Treatise on Cosmic Fire are not saying I can interpret them, but I will give it a try, and we will see where it leads after this book. As I say, there's the last 100 pages or so of Cosmic Fire, and maybe the last half of the book, The Rays and the Initiations. And there are sections from the old commentary that I want to talk about a little bit, and hopefully they'll be of some value. They're in the spontaneous form. Remember, exactitude of thought would be achieved through writing, and whatever kind of thought is achieved in this way. So we will see you soon. Bye for now.